Professor Siegel, thank you so much for this opportunity and dedicating this time to answer some of the questions. We are going through a challenging time in the economy of the United States politically and economically. And having your opinion on different topics of what's going on right now will be very, very helpful. The first question that I have, Professor, would be that if you can provide an opinion on the current economic landscape that we have in, and then where do you foresee this year going forward?
Hello, Nick Yakani. Yes, I am very optimistic about this year's economy. I think we will not have a recession. We may have a slowdown in the next quarter or two, but I think we will accelerate in the third or fourth quarter, and I'm looking for GDP growth to top 2%. I'm seeing inflation getting under control. I'm seeing the Fed lowering interest rates quite strongly during this year. I think the interest rates are too high right now, and Powell needs to get them down, and that will be good for all the risk assets. It'll be good for the stock market and might even be good for the bond market. Certainly what we will see is short-term interest rates go down, and that will stimulate the economy. Of course, we have a political election at the end of the year, but very honestly, I'm not sure whether that is going to affect the financial markets that much. All the candidates are basically for free enterprise. We don't have any socialists or you know, extreme left wingers that are going to shut down markets or nationalize any industries the way other countries in the world have to worry about. So I think that the free markets motif will still be in place no matter what the political outcome is. So I am optimistic about 2024.
Beautiful, Doctor. You know, the way I like the way you describe, Professor, down to the point, and, you know, having these political issues, obviously is a concern for anybody that wants to make a decision, what to invest, and where we're going. So thank you so much. So you don't see any challenges, basically, politically affecting the economy at this time in reference to the election?
No, I very honestly do not feel that the election, it's not between someone who is a real left winger and a right winger. I mean, Biden is really on the economy. I mean, he calls himself a capitalist. Now, he does interfere with certain regulatory issues more than maybe I would like. But given the whole range of who could be there, he's basically market friendly, wants capitalism to survive. We know that Donald Trump, if he is elected, cares about the stock market a lot and how well it does, and wants the economy to do well. So we don't have anyone running from the extreme left. And I think that as a result, I'm not worried. 8 years ago, when Trump was first elected, we worried about tariffs. He's not talked about tariffs anywhere near as much, hardly at all, compared to then. That's why the Wall Street feared him 8 years ago. But his pro-capitalist, low-tax program far outweighed any fear on tariffs and sent our economy into a strong economic performance during his presidency. Of course, COVID came during his and then Biden's early president. We have recovered from that. We are recovering nicely now from that. And that sets up a very good year for 2024.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Professor Siegel, in discussing the stock market, you know, obviously, people are always scared when there's election year coming up and some uncertainty in the world. With today's financial market, do you see more investments that offer principal guaranteed being a valuable tool, or the life is going to be normal as it always been? So we have this guaranteed principal, you know, portfolios, and then we got the diversified portfolios for everybody. But do you see more of a, desire towards guaranteed principal products this year?
Yes, definitely. As clients and individuals, investors age, it is very comforting to know you have a minimum amount. You have a guaranteed minimum. Stock market can be scary. And when it's going down, you know, all of a sudden you feel, oh, my God, could we have another Great Depression where the stock market went down 90%? And you begin to really worry. To have a guaranteed amount is a very, it enables you to sleep at night. Now, I don't want people to become too safe because I am optimistic about the stock market in 2024. I don't think it's going to rise as much as 2023, but I think that on the whole, we could easily see an 8 to 12% rise in stock prices. And I think that certain types of stocks, and we may talk about some of those later, are actually could even do better. So don't become too conservative, because although interest rates are higher than they've been, in my opinion, they are not as high as the return that you will get in the stock market.
Professor, I like the word that you said. Don't be too conservative. I like that.
Yes. I've been saying that for years, and I wrote the book, Stocks for the Long Run, as you know, now in its sixth edition, you know, almost 500,000 copies sold, to say that, you know, in that long run, and by the way, it doesn't have to be 220 years, although that's how long I've analyzed the stock market. Even over 20 or 30 year periods, stocks beat bonds well over 90% of the time. And we're living longer all the time. And, you know, retirement might be 60, but people are living into their 90s. That's that 30-year period where stocks are almost a sure bet to beat fixed income assets.
Very good. That's good news for oldies like myself.
and myself, too.
Doctor, my next question always getting more attention, at least from my radio listeners, and that's about real estate. When considering concentrated assets such as commercial real estate, what is your thoughts? Should investors diversify more in alternative investments and strategies rather than just commercial real estate? Because I always tell in my radio program, the way Persian community has concentrated assets in real estate is like, if real estate catches flu, my community can catch pneumonia. It's a very, very highly concentrated asset in real estate. And then real estate really doesn't have an exit strategy. If you have a commercial real estate, like downtown Los Angeles, is nowhere close where it used to be many years ago. And some of my clients that they have, you know, big holdings in commercial real estate in downtown Los Angeles, they kind of stuck and they don't know what to do. So where do you see commercial real estate going this year? And is there any hope for exit strategy in commercial real estate for some investors?
Yes, and I know, you know, many people from particularly that have come from foreign countries or have, you know, family, whatever, they don't trust the stock market as much. They trust real assets, and real estate is one of those real assets. But in a place like the United States, under the rule of law and private property being held in very good legal standing, you can venture out into the stock market because the stock market will offer returns as good at, if not better, than real estate. Now, again, commercial real estate is only one type of real estate. You know, a real estate investment trust, really commercial real estate, is a small part of all that real estate. I mean, there's many different types of real estate. You should diversify away from just one type of asset, just like you are saying. I mean, there's no reason to plunge into one type of asset in the United States. You can really diversify. That said, yes, commercial real estate has suffered losses. At this particular point, it's probably too late to sell because the price you would get for much of that commercial real estate is low, discounting the worst. So, you know, in this particular case, you know, you might not want to sell much of it unless you need tax losses. However, all new money should be diversified outside of any one area, be it commercial real estate, even private equity or venture capital, you name it. You must be diversified. Diversification is the key to stabilizing your returns in the long run and maximizing your financial wealth.
Because, you know, we had so many years of low interest, and obviously people got anxious to do more real estate and more real estate and more real estate. Now the phone calls that I'm getting in my program are, oh my gosh, my rent income has gone down about 20 to 25%, and I'm trying to sell my property. It doesn't look like I'm going to get much money. And then on top of that, I got taxation. So, yeah, thank you so much for enlightening some, info on the commercial real estate. And as you mentioned previously, interest rates seems to be going down. Would that help the commercial real estate as well, yeah, or not as
that'll
much?
That'll definitely help the commercial real estate, especially if you need to roll over your financing. However, we do have to admit the COVID pandemic induced a shift in work at home and lowered the demand for office space. Yes, there are people coming back to the office, to be sure, but I think it's a permanent change to some degree. Top-grade real estate will do well, and even lower-grade real estate is so low now that, in a way, if it covers its costs, income levels and current prices are very good. On, you know, past prices or construction prices are not as good. But now, you know, you have to always consider, what is the price today? You can't say, gee, I wish I sold in 2020 or 2021. You got to look at the price today, and you got to, again, keep in mind the need for diversification of your portfolio, whatever your current status is.
Thank you, Professor. Now, you're talking about diversification, which obviously is the best advice to everyone. My next question is about cryptocurrency. I don't understand where the Bitcoin coming from, where it's going. Can you tell us what is the future of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency?
Oh, I wish I could. I don't think anyone really can. It was so volatile. As we're recording this today, as you probably know, this morning, I think Bitcoin went down 10% in 30 minutes. I mean, wow, my goodness, a little bit of recovery, but it's very volatile. I do not know its intrinsic worth. I do know one thing, though, and that is our banking system is sometimes too stodgy. I mean, it's safe, but it needs to improve the payment system. We need to have 24/7 ways of transferring money. We need to transfer international money without the high costs that are often imposed. So Bitcoin is trying to get around some of the sluggishness of our commercial banking system. And it's like a kick in the behind. Come on. We can make transfers much simpler, much more efficient. And I think Bitcoin would basically go away under those circumstances. So Bitcoin is a response to a financial sector that could have more innovation. But I do not know whether the price of Bitcoin a year from now will be $100,000 or $10,000. And honestly, I don't know anyone who has accurately predicted its price. One thing I do know is that a lot of people had said Bitcoin is an asset class, which means it's independent of other assets. Well, in 2022 and 2023, its correlation with speculative assets such as NASDAQ were extremely high, and you weren't really getting diversification with Bitcoin relative to your holdings in tech companies and other growth stocks. So I think its story as a separate asset class that gives you that diversification has been overstated. Again, it could go very much higher and lower. It's very volatile. I do not own any. I don't plan on owning any, but I'm not going to criticize it like Jamie Dimon, or I'm not going to criticize it like the late Charlie Munger, because I think it's a response to a banking system that I think could be more efficient than it is.
Well, luckily, Doctor, I don't own any Bitcoins. I don't understand. And I always tell my clients, probably it's for next generation. Maybe I'm too old for that. But anyways.
And maybe I am.
Maybe next generation. Doctor, my next question is about artificial intelligence. Obviously, the influence that we see artificial intelligence. Where do you see this going this year? Where do you see artificial intelligence in 2024 and beyond?
I see artificial intelligence as being a very positive factor for the stock market. I think it's going to increase economic growth anywhere from 0.5% to 1% a year over the next 3 to 5 years. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, go right into the AI companies. They're very expensive, but I think it's going to help all companies from low to high. It will make a lot of processes easier, quite like the internet did 20 years ago. And it's going to increase economic growth and increase stock market returns. So I am positive on AI. However, I would warn people that AI-type stocks, just like Internet-type stocks, Internet transformed our economy. But we all know what happened in 2000 with those that only went into Internet stocks, the bubble burst. So you got to be really careful and diversified. Again, diversification, but for the economy as a whole and for the stock market, it is a positive.
Very good, Professor. Yeah, as you mentioned, again, diversification is the key. And so you don't see anything wrong adding that to a portion of your portfolio.
Oh, no, of course not. I mean, NVIDIA and all these other companies that are involved, I mean, a lot of them are the great, you know, I mean, many of them are Microsoft and that. They are the great tech companies. So clearly, I'm not against them. Some are very expensive. And, you know, competition comes into play. But AI is going to help everyone. It's not just going to help those that produce the chips for AI or produce chat GPTs. It's going to help corporations up and down that now can produce literature, do calculations, write code. One could go on and on. In many ways, it's far more revolutionary to me than, for instance, Bitcoin is.
Professor, one thing is for sure, AI is not going to replace the experience of Jeremy Siegel.
Oh, I appreciate that. Well, I do think that judgment of human beings that have studied this, as I have all my life, and know the history, AI is not there. Because AI scrapes the Internet. And there's a lot of good things on the Internet, but we all know there's a lot of bad things on the Internet. There's a lot of inaccurate things on the Internet. And if you ask AI, for instance, who's going to win the war between Russia and Ukraine, what's going to be the impact of the war on oil prices and all that, it will not give you any informed answer that is anywhere near what experts actually can predict. And experts themselves have a hard time. But you're not going to get magical predictions of the future from AI. It's going to be consolidation of past knowledge, which saves you on research. That in and of itself is a great positive. But judgment and understanding of human beings will still be the most important source of future knowledge.
Wow, well said. Actually, I've been in the business 40 years, and I always believe 80% of financial decisions are psychology, and then 20% is technique. And that's going to repeat itself again, because I don't think artificial intelligence is going to be able to come up with the ultimate result like a good financial planner or advisor can design.
Absolutely.
A plan.
Absolutely. I mean, when the market goes down, you're not going to turn to AI and say, should I, you know, stay in stocks? You're going to turn to your advisor. And he or she are going to be able to say, let's take a look at history, similar periods, valuations, and that personal touch is going to do what AI could never do.
Wonderful. Doctor, for 2024, the power of diversification you implied many, many times. For this year, between the energy sector, pharmaceutical, and precious metals, such as gold and others, do you have any favorite or combination of all of the above?
Well, I don't do a lot of individual sector analysis, but let me give you some of my thoughts as I say today. I think this year is going to be a year where the so-called Magnificent Seven will not outperform the general market. I don't think they'll do badly, and some of them will, of course, but as a group, I think they're going to take a rest. Financials have been beaten down terribly. A lot of it because of commercial real estate and their loans, fears of recession, fears of default, which I don't think is going to happen to the degree that is in their prices. They could do very well. Pharmaceuticals are a tale of big differences. I mean, we had some pharmaceuticals do extremely well. Others like Pfizer, Moderna, who, of course, did great with the when the COVID vaccines came out, have slipped, did badly in 2023. Others, of course, roared ahead. Eli Lilly, those that are in the new diet drugs, if you will, did extremely well. So there's a lot of disparity of what those pharmaceuticals can do. Gold, and I have gold in my 220-year history, the average return on gold after inflation is a little less than 1% a year. Now, That's better than paper money, but it is not as good at all as stocks. I can't fault someone who wants to hold 5% in gold just as kind of a holding if things get really bad, but it will drag down your portfolio returns in the long run. At this particular point, however, I don't think it's too high priced. It really reacted rather modestly to the inflation that we had, did not get overpriced like it did in 1979 and 80 when it jumped way ahead. Of course, back then we didn't have Bitcoin, so everyone was going into gold to protect themselves, and as a result, it stayed more reasonable. So it's not unreasonable to hold a very small holding in there, but do not expect in the long run anything like stock market returns.
Well, Doctor, thank you so much again, you know, for giving this opportunity to us. And it's always encouraging to hear from you. And I look forward to see you in this year's meetings with an Access Group or wherever happen to see you again. I want to thank you. I want to thank Annexes for putting this together, and I'm enjoying reading your book that it was autographed and sent to me. I appreciate that. I'm almost 80% done with reading your book. It's very complicated, but it's very enlightening and it's very informative. Thank you. Thank you again so much for having you on my radio program on behalf of myself, my investors, my team. We want to wish you a very, very amazing 2024 and full of success and obviously health. Next time I see you, I want to make sure that you walk in without cane. Is that fair?
I am better, and I thank you. I enjoyed talking to you here at the beginning of this year. My association with the Annexes and all the people associated has been, just been wonderful. And, you know, perhaps I will be here again for you, maybe at the beginning of 2025.
For sure. And we always look forward to seeing you, hopefully, this year or next year in Los Angeles. Sooner or later, you have to show up in Los Angeles, Professor. But anyways, it was a pleasure talking to you again. Thank you so much, everybody that orchestrated this opportunity, and have a wonderful journey for the rest of the year.
Thank you very much.